Welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Rob Tiffany, and I'm joined today by Matthias Hoekstra. We are broadcasting live from sunny Barcelona here at Mobile World Congress.
It's 40 degrees outside. It's awesome.
It is awesome. Actually, right outside there is the beach in the Mediterranean. But we're inside here because we want to talk to you about deployment.
Yes.
Because it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, we talked about why you would build apps and what kind of apps in the past, but today it's about deployment.
Why would you build apps? I hear that apps are pretty popular, and people aren't leaving it to us to decide why they need to build apps. Get on the train or get left behind.
You need to have Flappy Bird, man.
Flappy Bird, yes. Yes. Did you see people are like selling devices with Flappy Bird on it?
Yeah.
For thousands of dollars?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It is. Oh, well, all right. Let's talk about deployment today.
Okay, let's do that.
So I got a short presentation. I want to go through the different steps which are important for deploying applications, right? So how do you distribute your apps to your users?
I've always wondered that. Do you just download a file from a website?
You could do it like that.
Oh, okay.
There's different options. So the most convenient and easiest one is going to the public store, like every regular application. As the company, you can decide to publish your application to the store.
Yeah.
Microsoft certifies the app, and it's there. You can use beta apps. You know the beta apps we have in the store?
We might need to remind people about our beta app story, because it's been a while since we've talked about it.
So we have the beta apps. You publish it to the store. Well, you upload it to the store. You provide a list of live IDs. And people with that live ID can access the app. We don't expire betas anymore. That changed recently, so they will be there forever.
That's cool.
Although you need to build a kill switch if you want people to stop using your beta. You can publish to the store. Microsoft certifies it, but you hide the application. But if people know the deep link to the store, they can download it.
Right.
So those are the three options growing through
the store. So I'm going to upload my beta of Flappy Birds then.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So you can help people out.
Gotcha.
And you can do side loading. That's like a private distribution. You can do it.
Is that where I get a floppy disk and insert it in the floppy drive on the side of the phone?
Exactly.
Okay.
Dude,
all
you're
right.
So much smarter than I thought.
I got you. Is it the big floppy or the little hard one, like the 5 1/4
or the 3?
It depends
on if you have the big phone or the small phone.
Oh, okay.
So you can use an MDM tool like Intune.
Intune.
Are you familiar with Intune?
I think I've heard of it.
Okay.
I think I've heard of it.
Or one of our good friends, AirWatch, Mobile Iron Good, SAP. There's plenty of MDM environments out there which supports Windows Phone. You can use distribution through a website or emails, depending on, there's pros and cons, and we'll go through it.
Excellent.
So on a list, similarities, it's the default APIs and the default apps. The apps are the same on going to the store or when you sideload. The security model is the same. We still run the apps in the sandbox with the least privilege, so you can't get out of it if you sideload the app.
So it's like the apps are almost in their own container, isn't it?
They are.
They're shielded from each other, shielded from the OS, the platform.
Yes, yes. So we have exactly the same security model for sideloaded apps as we have for the...
That's what our customers are looking for.
Yes, security is key.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The difference is obviously that you create your apps yourself or you get them from somebody else, and they're only available for your employees. We don't certify the apps. That means that you take over responsibility for the quality assurance instead of Microsoft.
Right.
So there are a few steps. First, you need to create a company account. This doesn't work with a developer, an individual developer account. So you need a company account.
So what's that all about? You'll probably get to it, won't you?
You want me to get to that? Yeah?
No,
I can tell you how that works. That's okay.
Are you going to tell us?
Yes, I will.
Good.
So first you get a company account, then you go to Symantec to buy a certificate. And you need the certificate to sign the application.
Is that a Norton certificate?
No, it's a Symantec certificate, code signing certificate.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
All right.
You create an application enrollment token. I will go in depth how that works. You sign the applications. Then you can enroll your phones in the enterprise and you start distributing the applications. And of course, you run the applications. And there's some details what we do when the applications are installed. So first you go to the developer center, records as a company.
I love that site.
Oh yeah.
That's like where I hang out. That's like my home page. It's the developer site.
So how many apps do you have in the store?
Oh, lots of beta apps.
Exactly.
Probably only two real ones.
Like almost finished apps, right? Like a lot of developers. Yes.
I have two real ones though. You know, but
Yeah, they did the event app, right? And then in the weekend.
Yes, the bumper shoot for our big music festival we have in Seattle. Yes, I did that one for last year. It's kind of out of date now because it was just for that event. But you know what? That's the great thing about apps. They're really focused, single purpose. They don't have to be about this broad thing, and they're great for marketing.
Exactly.
It doesn't just have to be about enterprise stuff. It's like, hey, I need to help you with a marketing event.
So you go to the portal, you create a company account, you provide your publisher name, and Microsoft checks if it all works out, so you can't register as another company. That's the check we do. Make note about it, it needs to be company account, publisher name. Then you go to Semantic and you request a code signing certificate.
Outstanding.
And you copy out the data, there's the Semantic ID on the portal you use, it's the email address you use, and it's important when you request a certificate from Semantic, and download the certificate, you need to do it on the same machine.
You know, in some weird way, this kind of reminds me of like when I have to get an SSL certificate for IIS.
It's the same.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same.
All right,
process.
I gotcha.
So Semantic also does a check if you really are who you say you are.
Right.
There's validation, and after that.
It's always good to be validated.
Yes.
It helps your self-esteem.
Exactly.
And it helps with security.
So this is how it looks like when you double click the certificate in your certificate store. We have a publisher ID, publisher name, the issuer is Semantic, and how long it's valid. It will be valid for a year. After that, you have to renew it.
Okay.
And there's some specifics we store in the certificate we use as
well. So it's probably good to write down on a notepad or a back of a napkin the date that you need to renew it by so that you don't forget and go, oops.
Yeah, so it won't blow up when it's expired, but I will go through the details what happens when we expire.
Okay,
so,
that's good.
This is what you install on your machine, and you can export the file with the private token and password, and you can start using it to sign your applications.
Excellent.
And probably a company has some kind of process in place, how to work with certificates and who's the person who can sign applications, et cetera, et cetera. I know we have at Microsoft a special website where we ask for some permission to sign an application before we start distributing, et cetera.
They probably go into a highly secure area in their company, kind of a clean room, go in through double secure doors, things like that, to do the signing there.
Exactly. That's like the only room you can use this floppy disk, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can never be too sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. We now have the certificate and you can use it to sign applications. The first thing you need to do is create an application enrollment token.
Wow,
yeah,
token.
You can do it in two ways. You can create it yourself and some of the MDM environments can do it for you. You upload the certificate and the password and it does all the stuff automatically. This application enrollment token needs to be on the phone before you can start your own applications. And we go through different steps you can do, but that's the main thing we start, we use on the phone to check
sign
if the application.
Token. Yeah. Now obviously, you got to match the token with the apps that are signed. And
yes, so the application token is nothing else than a XML file with the publisher ID.
Okay.
And we sign it with a certificate so we can check if it's really the right publisher ID, but that's the only thing which is in the file.
And then you've got your token signed so that other devices who can't just run your app.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
So if you do it by command line, this is all installed with the tools from the SDK, from the officials, from the Windows Phone SDK.
Right.
You have a command line to create the token file.
That's exciting stuff. Anything that's command line, it looks really techy.
You can do like IT pro stuff at phone, man.
Wow.
That's cool.
Wow.
So what happens, the token is valid for a year when you sign it.
All right.
And it needs to be renewed after. You can have multiple tokens on the phone, depends on how you do it, but you can distribute one through MDM. If you choose Intune, we can distribute just one token, but you can install through email, through a website, separate if you want.
Gotcha.
All the applications are signed by the same certificate. So the publisher ID is on the accept file. So and that's what we check against the token on the phone.
Gotcha.
So at runtime, what happens is a user tries to launch an app. The execution manager tries to validate extracts the publisher ID from the application and finds the associated token. If it's there and valid, we launch the application.
Launch the app, excellent.
Yeah. And a token can be expired, revoked, or disabled.
Yeah.
And we have a process in place to check the token.
Right.
So we call it the phone home functionality. So what happens is that every 24 hours, or every time you install an application, the phone phones home to Microsoft.
I'll be right back.
Exactly. Okay. And it checks if the token is still valid. If the token is not valid, or it can't, or if the phone can't reach home,
right,
because I don't know, you're working on a cruise ship or somewhere in
absolutely
down in the forest doing some really important
work. Because that's your future dream, is to be a karaoke singer on a cruise ship, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so and you might not be able to get online. Scenario, yeah. But I have this really important line of business app. So
okay,
after seven times, so after a week,
right,
we cannot phone home, you are not able to install new applications, but your existing applications will still run. So
okay,
you can, and I think it's around 30-31 days before we stop the application running.
What was the original thinking behind all this phone home
stuff? So the thing is, we want to make sure that not people are downloading all the apps from the store, putting in like a private marketplace, sign all the apps, and give you the token, and just start distributing the apps.
Okay, right.
So people might be familiar with App Studio.
Yep.
We use the exact same method now for signing the apps. You install a token, and you can we sign the apps for you. We can download the app from the website.
Right.
So you can run and test the app without going to the developer tools.
Gotcha.
Not everybody is installed the app developer tools.
Right.
Not everybody's really knows how to sideload apps, so you can do it through a web interface or
gotcha
email. But if we find out this well, illegal marketplace, for example,
right,
we can shut them down.
We don't like illegal marketplaces.
No. So what happens
just
is
say no.
No, say no. This is the XML we sent out to our server.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so awesome.
That is awesome.
So the device ID, the different tokens. So at this sample, there are two, 40002 and 003, and the application IDs from the enrolled applications.
Heavy use of GUIDs.
Yeah,
I noticed.
Yeah.
This is like a flashback to 1999. Remember when people were just geeking out over XML back then?
You remember the day we ran out?
Oops.
So, and what Microsoft returns after he gets this information is the different status of the ID. So, for example, the 4002 is still valid, and the 003 is invalid,
okay,
it's revoked.
Right.
So at that time, we will not start application on the phone which are signed with the publisher ID, which is in that token.
Gotcha.
So that's like
okay
our remote kill switch for sideloaded apps,
excellent,
so to say. And companies, there's a process for companies to request this revocation as well.
Okay.
Some they might be compromised, for example.
Right.
And they want to revoke all the applications which are
sure
signed by this token, and they can do it like this.
Okay. That makes sense.
That is really fast how you do it.
Excellent.
So all applications needs to be signed to run on the phone, right? When yep we go to the store, we sign the applications and we check against our own certificate, obviously. And you can do a private distribution.
Hey, does that say Windows Intune right there?
Yeah.
You've
heard about it?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
I like that product.
I think it's hot. I think it's going places.
Exactly. So we enroll the token to the phones, and then we distribute the apps.
Okay.
Before you do that, you have to prepare the applications. What we do normally when we publish apps to the store, we compile them or pre-compile them in the cloud.
Okay.
And you can do that yourself as well. There's a tool to prepare the apps. And what it does, it unzips the XAP file, gets
mm-hmm
all the assemblies.
Right.
Pre-compiles them, then patches them up again, so you can submit the app to the Intune portal, for example, to
does
start
that,
distributing it.
Does that compilation in the cloud make the apps faster?
Yes, especially for startup.
Excellent.
Yeah.
People feel the need for speed when it comes to apps. And I think this is a good thing. Lots of people go, I'm using a high-level language like .NET, it's doing JIT compiling.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wish I had C++ performance. You're just telling me that they're going to get to use the rapid application development tool, high-level programming,
yeah,
and then the cloud's going to go ahead and compile it to like machine code.
That's what normally happens, but when you start sideloading, you don't go through our cloud. So,
but they have a tool to do that themselves.
Yeah, yeah, and this is the command line you use. It's a PowerShell script. Woohoo!
This is great stuff, folks. This is cake, eat it too, free lunch.
Yeah,
I can't think of any other more.
Yeah. So
examples.
this is how you sign the application. That's the first step.
Okay.
And this is how you pre-compile the app as a PowerShell script.
Okay.
These are all installed in the SDK directories
that's
on your
awesome
on your machine. Yeah.
That's excellent.
So that's pretty easy, right?
That is easy.
So about deployment.
Even I could do this.
You should be able.
Maybe.
Yes, maybe.
Borderline.
It's so you can enroll through NDM. We call it the managed deployment.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you go to your phone, to your settings.
Right.
And there's a company apps part.
Oh, I've been
you
there.
Fill in your login name, password. The phone tries to resolve through DNS where the enrollment servers are. validates your identity, and if it's validated, you can choose optional to install a company portal.
Like most of us here at Microsoft, we have literally tens of thousands of employees with a company portal hitting Windows Intune,
exactly.
Which is great stuff.
Yeah.
And it's always good to have that private company store in there.
Yes, so you don't need to create your own company portal.
Oh.
For example, Intune already has a default company portal you can download.
Right.
Upload to the Intune management environment, and it will distribute it to the phones. And or here's a screenshot of the app.
Excellent.
There's a few of them, and you can like target apps. So it's you have specific apps for salespeople, for marketing people, for technical field people. Well, you can make it as fancy as you want.
Sure.
You can build your own app. Obviously, it's just a regular Windows Phone app. You can make it really smart. Do the catalog part. Mm-hmm. Do some breaking news and or some important IT department kind of news, or warn people about outages, except things like that. You can even do notifications if you want. So just use the entire platform. How you see fit, but you don't need to do it. You can download the default portal from your NDM environment as well.
Gotcha.
In the unmanaged deployment, we send you by email the token or through a website which is protected.
Right.
And you will get this question: do you want to add the company account to your phone? You can install an app later on through email or website, for example, as well, and it just will run. It's the same kind of behavior.
As long as you've got security, the same kind of pairing thing.
Best practice is to secure it. This is mostly used in a testing environment internal in an organization.
So, for instance, if you were going to send the token out via an email, for instance, you would probably want to use the Microsoft Rights Management built into Active Directory to rights manage, so it can't leak out to other people.
Yes.
You know, so that's kind of an example of like mobile information management, where we wrap an email or a document in policies.
But, I think in that scenario, you rather use an MDM environment.
I agree. But it's good to know if you're not going to do it, you know, think about security for
sure. So there are differences. Obviously, a managed environment, you need to purchase and pay for it, but you can automatically distribute the token.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the MDM capabilities, like setting all the different policies. And you can do an unenrollment.
Okay.
That's an important one. So you can unenroll manually.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here anymore. And we remove all the company data.
Okay.
But not your high scores from Angry Birds. We keep it alone.
So we're keeping business separate from personal.
Yes.
That's another big important thing.
You can update apps, for example.
Okay.
Like that. Unmanaged, well, you can distribute and you can be part of multiple application tokens, mostly used in a testing environment. You cannot unenroll without wiping the entire device.
Okay.
So that's a disadvantage. And you have to do a manual app update.
Gotcha.
So if you think it's important that your app is going to be updated, build something in yourself or build a kill switching app, because we can't remotely remove the apps as well.
Okay.
So that's the difference between managed and unmanaged, so to say.
Okay.
So there's pros and cons for everything.
Absolutely. Wow.
So that's it.
Is that it? Well, let's talk about this. I saw this new kind of a prototype device came in from a startup in Houston, Texas, called Compaq, and it's using this clever. What is this thing here? Is that? I don't know what to call this thing. It's some kind of new technology. Using multi-touch, you can use this thing. Well, whatever it is. This is an aggressive design. I really like this. I think this is going places.
Yes.
This might start a revolution in like personal digital assistance.
Can you manage the device?
Woof. I don't know. I wonder how I could get an enrollment token. Maybe using the infrared beam here, I could do that possibly. Maybe? Maybe not. I don't know. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
So if people are curious, what does an MDM environment do? I have one slide on a sample.
Oh, excellent.
We are based on a standard, SyncML, and all the users, all the MDM guys are using it. So this is how it looks like, for example, if you want to enable encryption on a device. It's pretty simple.
Oh, that is.
It is a vendor, Microsoft specific, but if you enable this part, we set a one on this entry, and the device is encrypted. That's it.
It's familiar to me.
It's not really that magical from an MDM perspective. The magic is on the device. We have an MDM agent already installed on the device. And what do you support, or what do you know, what not? So all the options, all the little flags you can turn and off, that's mainly the differences between the devices.
This is exciting stuff.
So yeah, we're gonna give some more details in the post beneath this video and on our blog. How you're gonna go step by step with all the details. Start distributing your apps. You build yourself in your organization.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll see you back when you get back to Barcelona next time. Thanks everyone for joining us for Inside Windows Phone.
Let's hit the beach.
Yeah.